there are two paths in life. There's the path to survival and there's the path to success. And they're not two lanes on the same highway. They're actually different highways.
Welcome to Wealth Embodied. Together, along with some amazing guests, we'll explore and tap into our innate abundance and have meaningful conversations about developing our ability to embody the vibration of wealth while also uncovering new ways to think, feel, and cultivate our relationship with money so we can live our lives wealthy and aligned. Let's welcome our host, Alara Sage.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Wealth Embodied, where we activate and inspire you in your wealth consciousness, your creative genius, and your visionary impact. I'm your host, Alara Sage. And you know, you hear me if you listen to this podcast often. I'm always speaking about the new era we're stepping into, the new era of wealth. And this new era coming really, and even these next 6 months, is about being bold. It's about showing up unapologetically as you, as your authentic voice, your authentic expression, and really how this is going to cultivate wealth in your life. And we have a wonderful guest today that is going to take us deeper into this conversation. Andrea Horvath ignites career transformation and wealth mastery in purpose-driven individuals, visionary leaders, and change makers who are committed to having a meaningful impact. She helps bring them into alignment with their souls to determine the work that they came here to do and then help them confidently implement the transformation. My love, thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting me. I'm super excited about this conversation.
So how do you define unapologetic?
I think it's taking off all the layers and just being you and being okay with what people think, because we've been in a world where we've been really been almost encouraged. I'm going to say actually encouraged, because I believe it actually is encouraged to be somebody different than we are, to fit in or to get this or to, and especially when it comes to our work, become somebody else to make money. And being unapologetic is actually showing up authentically yourself and being okay if somebody doesn't like you.
Being okay if somebody doesn't like you. That's delicious. I presume you have your own story with recognizing and owning your unapologetic self. Can you share that with us?
Yes, absolutely. I actually was raised in a family of conformity, and you're supposed to fit in. And actually, if you don't fit in, there's something wrong with you. So my journey has been a long one. And it's every year really taking off those layers of how I was supposed to be. Because we're all told we're supposed to behave a certain way. We're supposed to act a certain way. You're supposed to do things a certain way. We're supposed to believe things a certain way. And I know for me, I got to the point where I realized none of that was making me happy. All I was doing was making everybody else happy, but I was completely miserable on the inside. And as I started to be myself, what I discovered is that, wow, there actually are a lot of people who really just don't like it. They don't, you know, and it shines a light on the parts of themselves where they're not being themselves. But it actually held me back for a really long time because I wanted approval. And I do believe that we're in a world right now that really we love getting that external validation, right? So for me, it's been a long journey of going, it's actually okay if you think I'm weird. It's actually okay if you think I'm strange. It's actually okay if you don't like the way I live my life. Because at the end of the day, it is our lives. And so often we spend our time here on this planet, which is so precious, so valuable, living for other people. And so I really had to claim and take ownership of the fact this is me, this is my life, this is what I want. And it really is okay. And that's been a tough journey. That's been a hard fought battle for me. It's not something that came naturally to me at all, which is why I'm so passionate, because I know the difference in my life from when I was conforming and fitting in to how it is now. And you can't even compare the two.
Yes. And I had similar journey. And I mean, I didn't even know who I was So bring in a concept of owning myself unapologetically. I didn't even know what that meant. I didn't know who fundamentally I was. Did you have a similar experience?
Absolutely. Absolutely. When you realize all you've been doing is turning yourself into a pretzel to please everybody, then begs the big question, what do I want? Who am I? And it's a bit of a journey too. It doesn't happen overnight. You don't all of a sudden just have this enlightened moment where it all comes downloading in. I wish that was the case. Although it'd probably be too much for our systems. We'd probably glitch out, right? However, yeah, it took me a long time to figure out and be even okay. For me to be even okay with me and all my weirdness and all my quirks and all my decisions, because we have to accept it first. Like, that is the journey. Because if we don't accept who we are, once we've learned who we are, how can we expect anybody else?
I love that you're bringing in like weird and quirky, because recently I was speaking to one of my friends and, you know, I've been really feeling with the Aquarian energy that we have coming in. There's going to be this shine the light on those of us who are weird, shine the light on those of us who are outside of the box. And I had this moment where my mind came in and literally said, gee, how can I be more weird? And I was laughing so hard because from my perspective, I'm not weird at all. But of course, from, you know, the majority of humanity, I'm very far out of the box, especially how I really live my life. But I do feel like this is where we're moving forward. And I think the change makers and the visionary leaders that you work with, I think they sense this part of themselves that is weird, that is quirky. I mean, that's what makes them, from my perspective, a genius. So what do you find? You kind of alluded to, you know, people pleasing, but what else do you find blocks them from feeling safe to be that weird, quirky self genius?
I think you actually tapped on it a bit earlier when you said we don't even know who we are yet. And so that is the first step, because until you're grounded in that, you're truly grounded in that yourself, when you've accepted yourself radically, it's really hard to go out into the world. Because if somebody comes at you, because we live in a world now that's a cancel culture, and that's really been amplified over the last few years, right? And so the world, I believe, is actually getting tougher for you to be yourself, which is, of course, why this Aquarian energy is coming in so strongly. And ironically, I'm an Aquarius. But that's why it's coming in, true, because if you look at since, you know, probably the last 10 years, the level of conformity that's been pushed on people, it's getting harder and harder. So when we're being pushed around so much and we don't really connect with who we are, the first step is understanding who you are. And that can be a scary thing, because also it makes us, you know, or it really shines a light on the fact that we perhaps have spent our whole lives being somebody we're not, which is not always the funnest thing to face. That can be very confronting. It's like, oh my gosh, it could happen to me when I was about 33, 34. It's like, I've lived my whole life and I don't even know who I am. That can be a tough pill to swallow.
Yes. And I think sometimes even just having that first awareness, because it starts when we're so little. So it's not like we're in our 20s and we say, hey, you know, gee, I really need to fit in. Let me change myself to fit in. It starts so fundamentally when we're little, and it's just always there, kind of that outside source, you know, forming us into a particular expression or box, right? So how do you, if somebody were to say, I'm sensing, maybe feeling that this is truth for me, what are some symptoms, some flags, some things that you can point out to for those who are not living their unapologetic self? How does that show up really where the rubber meets the road in life?
One of the big flags is, are you a different person around different situations all the time? I mean, that's the biggest one. I mean, I show different parts of me, obviously, when I'm working rather than with my family. Obviously, we all show different parts, but essentially I'm me. You see all of me. And even when I'm alone, I am me. There's not this big variation. So if you're finding yourself speaking differently, talking differently, saying different things, really hiding parts of yourself, that's a big sign. Another really big sign, honestly, is being tired all the time. What I absolutely have recognized, and I'd be curious to know if you're the same, is since I'm myself, I have a lot more energy. I don't think we realize how much energy it takes to be all these different people. It's a lot of energy, and it's a lot of power we're suppressing, because there's a massive suppression happening when you hide who you are. When you hide your authentic self, there is a massive energy that is you're having to stifle. And truthfully, I believe a lot of people are afraid of that power, because once it gets unleashed, then what, right? But those are probably two of the biggest symptoms, I would say, if someone's thinking to themselves, I might be out of alignment in this.
Yeah, I agree. And I always find it very interesting that people say, well, all of this takes so much work, right? It takes so much work to do this self-awareness and this transformation. But I find it very fascinating, because to me, the work is actually in resisting it. Because as you said, you resist the true self. It takes a great amount of energy to do that, to fit into a box. It takes a great amount of energy to suppress your power. It takes a great amount of energy to constantly be shifting your voice to match another frequency that doesn't resonate with your soul. That actually takes an immense amount of energy, which, as you alluded to, makes you tired, makes you fatigued, makes things more challenging, makes life feel like it's this burden or a struggle, or I believe life is rather challenging in a good way, but kind of that heaviness of life rather than a challenge that is lit by aliveness. Like, challenge to me is aliveness. It's the spice of life. I love it. But I experience challenges in my life with this absolute energy and presence, and like, wow, yes, this is a new opportunity, right? Rather than this heavy burden of suffering. And I always really find that very important to point out. But, we're also used to a particular way of being. And so while it takes a tremendous amount of energy to suppress yourself, it's also what we're comfortable with, what we're familiar with, right? Versus like the other, we're not comfortable, we're not familiar. What has been some transformational experiences that your clients have gone through? Because we know it doesn't just affect one aspect of their life.
Definitely not. What kind of transformation in terms of their whole life do you mean?
Yeah, whatever resonates for you to bring through. What transformations have they experienced?
Well, when I work with people, we do focus on their career. But as you said, it affects every area of our life. What I find is they realize how much they are suppressing themselves in all areas, because how we do one thing is how we do everything. So most people suppress themselves the most in their careers, because we were taught that. We were taught to conform. I wasn't that long out of corporate, and that's the way corporate lives. Corporate is all about fitting in and flying under the radar in many ways, which is not being unapologetic. It's the antithesis, right? And so what happens is when people start to do that, they start to realize where else they are out of alignment and where they're not being unapologetically themselves. And so it ends up being that you end up transforming parts of your life. So whether it's moving's a big one for a number of people when they realize they're not physically. Because a lot of times too, we live where we work. And then when we realize that's out of alignment, we are like, well, where do I actually want to be? The next question a lot of people then start to realize is, well, actually, how do I want to live? If I'm being unapologetically me, how do I actually want to live my life? What lifestyle do I want? Does this, 9 to 5, Monday to Friday work for me? Does it actually work for me? Or do I like working nights, or do I like working weekends, or how much do I even want to work? It opens up the whole Pandora's box, right? I know you're laughing because you know that, but it doesn't happen all at once. And I think that's the important part. It is like an onion, right? Every layer, we go deeper and deeper and we learn more about ourselves. And I think that's really, really important to emphasize. And I always say to people, you can also know that something is not in alignment for you. But that doesn't mean you have to move right now. You don't have to actually change it right away. You can be aware that at some point you're probably going to want to change something, but not do it right now because there's something else that's more important. And that's okay.
Yeah. And it has this really strong disruptor energy to it, right? Just as you said, it can really show all areas of your life and feel very disruptive. But I love how you put, you don't have to blow up all of the bombs at once. You don't have to flip everything over. I mean, for some people, like I'm that kind of person. I love to go hard and fast, dive deep, jump off the cliff, all of those things. That's how I roll. But I know that not everybody rolls that way. And so if, because I feel like, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, maybe some people, they kind of start to have this awareness, but they're resistant to even going down the path of beginning the process because they can sense, whether it's subconscious or conscious, that it's very disruptive, right? That it is going to transform them from the inside out and everything around them from the inside out. Do you find that?
Yes, most people have an idea, but they have not been ready or willing to admit it to themselves. There's an inkling that something's wrong. It could be a marriage. It could be employment. It could be family. It could be a number of things. But there's this sense in them that I maybe don't want to embark on this journey because I'm then going to have to face this part that I've been avoiding for a very long time.
Yeah, because these are big decisions, right? Your career and, you know, it can affect your partnership. These are big decisions and, of course, completely worth it. But I do want to keep calling this out because I feel it's important for the audience to hear that, yeah, it's not abnormal to have hesitancy, to have that sense, that intuitive hit, and then still want to put the brakes on, even though it's not in alignment. You know it's not serving you, but we can often be fearful or uncertain or doubtful of what is the unknown, right? And if people have been doing this their whole life, that's a big unknown.
It is. And I think the hard part of this is you don't know what's on the other side.
That's what I mean, yeah.
You don't know what's on the other side. You don't actually know how good it is. Because, you know, the whole topic of this, you know, is about to prosper, right? And what we don't realize is when we dull ourselves down to fit in everywhere, we don't actually ever get ahead. We don't actually ever get ahead. I've always said that there are two paths in life. There's the path to survival and there's the path to success. And they're not two lanes on the same highway. They're actually different highways. And I think there's a belief out there that if I just keep pushing on the highway of survival, if I just keep pushing and I keep fitting in, but I do more work, I do more, I try harder, eventually I'll hit that abundance or the wealth or the rich relationships or whatever it is. And it doesn't actually ever happen because it's actually the wrong highway. Like you can keep on that highway. All you're really doing is going faster and harder on a road that's not taking you to where you want to go. You actually have to get off that highway. And the only way to do that is to start becoming unapologetically you, owning your desires, owning what you want, owning who you are, and all the layers of that. You can't do it on the old highway. It won't take you there.
I really love that analogy. And I can't express enough that I feel in the age of Aquarius, which really is the next 20 years, that this authenticity is going to be a big deal. Like I said to you the other day, authenticity is the new black. And, you know, we're just coming into this time, but I feel very rapidly that we can feel authenticity. We can feel it. We can feel when another person is in their genius, right? Is connected truly on a soul level, is embodied within that and holding that presence and resonance. We can feel it. People can feel it, whether again, they are conscious of that's what they're feeling, or they're just like, whoa, that person, there's something about that person, right? And it's very, very magnetic in a positive way. Is that what you have experienced with yourself as well through this process?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I believe that's important is the magnetic part. But of course, when we think about a magnet pulls certain things in, but it also repels others. And so that's, I believe, a very important part of it because you will repel others. And there is a part of this journey where we do have to be okay with that. But then understanding for the people that you are right for, whether that is clients, whether that is a company, it doesn't matter who or what it is. the right ones will get pushed away and the right ones will love you. They'll be like, you are who I've been looking for. And that is what we want. Whereas right now, what we're being taught is just, it's really mold yourself and you don't stand out. You don't actually fit anybody.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of just a wish. It's a very much a wishy-washy energy. And people are not magnetized to wishy-washy. It feels very flaky, but that's unfortunately the world that we've been living in. And I also believe that one of the challenges that people have right now about being unapologetic is understanding that there's unapologetic from a low frequency, which is kind of a screw you, I'm just doing my thing. I don't care about the rest of you. And I think a lot of people are trapped in believing that's what being unapologetic is, but that is a very low frequency. If this unapologetic is, I love and value myself so much and my journey and knowing that I came here as the unique expression of myself, that I am just going to be that. And if that's not in alignment with you, if that doesn't work with the rest of you, like, that's okay. You know, bless you, you know, send you love and light, but it's okay. I'm okay with that. They're very, very different. And unfortunately, I believe we've been portrayed unapologetic, like I said, from that really low frequency place.
I love so much that you bring that up. I actually made a comment just the other day about that. And to me, it's like the difference between speaking your mind, right, and speaking your truth. Because speaking your mind is just that, like, I'm going to say whatever I want, no filter. I don't care how it lands, right? And it has no compassion to it. It has no wisdom to it. It's not heart open. It's more of this, I just want to slap everybody in the face. I want to flip my finger off at everybody, which, you know, it's not necessarily a wrong place to be. Sometimes it can be a transitionary place. And then speaking truth is 100% from the heart, open, compassionate. I actually find that speaking truth, we often say a lot less. Like, we don't need to say as many words. But also, what I experienced when I went through this process is, initially, when I started to really show up unapologetically, that's when I really had people like be upset with me and come at me and say things like that. But as I moved through my process, I don't attract those people anymore. Full stop. Like, I only attract people who are like, wow, I want to whatever, be in your space, or friends. Like, I only attract the people who are in resonance with me. So I find it to be evolutionary as well. And yeah, initially you are going to repel a lot of people. That's part of the process. But then as you fine tune that frequency, you really start to just attract soul aligned peeps, you know, the vibe, right? The soul tribe.
I love that. And it is refinement. I 100% agree. Because what happens is, when you first start to become unapologetic, you're not solid in that frequency yet.
Yes.
So you dip up and down.
Yes.
So you go, oh, I'm going to do this today. And you're like, woo, look at me. I'm all in my power and everything else. And the next day you're like, oh crap. And you're like, what did I do? Right. And that's when we get, and that's when you actually are going to get the people who come in that may say something to you, may disagree with you, may have a problem with you. But once you can hold that, and that's the key, but it does take time. It doesn't happen overnight. It's just trusting the journey when you're in that place where you're getting the naysayers or whatever, until you do get to that place where you're holding a frequency. And those other people, they don't even, like you said, they don't even come into your space. They get repelled so quickly.
Yeah.
they don't even enter it. It's like you've got this, well, because you're so in your power.
Yeah.
Like, just so powerful that space, because that's what being unapologetic to me is, the epitome of power, like true power, because you're saying, this is me, and you are holding it. And that takes power. But when you can master that, like you said, you're only pulling in the most amazing experiences and people that completely align, and is a whole different way of living. And that's when your energy stays up, meaning like your energy of not being tired throughout the day, because you've managed to hold that frequency.
Yes, that was so well put. And I love how you really expressed that. I think we're bringing another angle to this that is really, really beautiful and hopefully helps people. So If somebody is resonating with what we're speaking here today, and perhaps they are sighing and swallowing that pill.
Yeah.
What is something that they can start to apply to their life now to start this process?
I think a really great place to start with is baby steps. Because, you know, you talked about, you said you can take bold steps. I can too now, but I couldn't back then. And so it's looking at little ways that you can actually, if you say something and you're not speaking that truth, like you're saying a no when you mean a yes, or you're doing something where you're apologizing literally, you know, when you shouldn't be, when you're keeping yourself small, because it starts with the little steps and knowing that to get to the place where you can take the leaps, like you and I are doing now, it takes time, because along that journey, you build this radical trust with yourself. And that's an important piece. Trust does not get built overnight. But when you start to take little steps consistently, and don't judge yourself anywhere in the process, which we know is so important, then you can start taking bigger and bigger and bigger and bolder steps. So just start small.
I love how you pointed to, particularly with what we're speaking, right? Whether we're saying yes when we mean no, or vice versa, or apologizing, or even just saying something that we can feel is coming from that place of, if I say this, this is going to make everybody happy, or this will keep the calm, or this will appease the crowd, or this will help me fit in, all of those different ways. But I think that expression is such a beautiful first step to really start practicing and becoming aware of and taking action on. That's really beautiful. And of course, people can reach out to you, because it's such a beautiful journey to be on. And simultaneously, as we've mentioned, it can be disruptive. It can be scary of the unknown. There can be a question of, who am I really? Like, these are big questions. And when somebody else has walked the walk, right, they have gone through the experience, they've moved through the fire, they have a different perspective, they have a higher awareness of the process. And so I just really want the audience to know that if they're sensing that this is a part, hiring you is one of those options that can just take that weight off the shoulders, feel like they're supported, feel like they can go to somebody when they're feeling uncertain, or geez, when they're just like, you know, really not knowing what to do. And having somebody that has been through that process guide them is truly invaluable.
Well, thank you. And I appreciate that. And that's how I did my journey too, because you can be walking along this and you've got these thoughts or these things are happening. And you're thinking to yourself, is this normal? Is this supposed to happen this way? And having somebody guide you and just be able to say, yeah, this is exactly, you know, this is how we can move through this. This is totally normal. This is what we do next. And this is what you do next. And it can really, really shorten the time and the struggle. Because they're both important. And I think on this planet right now, we don't value our time enough, which is a whole other conversation, but
it really is.
We value money more than we value time. But anyway, but really, it's just, you know, I think it comes back to that piece of value, right? How much do we value ourselves and our journey and our time and all these things to actually get to that place where we can just be ourselves? Because life is so much more, it's just so much more fun. It's juicier. It's exciting. It's the word that's coming to mind is tantalizing. That's not a word I ever use. Maybe you're bringing that out in me. I don't know, Laura. It's not a word I've ever used, but I got goosebumps as soon as I said that, because that's how it feels. Like, I think full body shivers when you're fully unapologetically yourself. Doors just open. Doors open like they've never opened before. And it's just a fun ride.
Yes. And I always phrase it as that feeling of home. Like, you literally feel at home in yourself. And you feel at home in your life, in the things that you create. You feel at home with the people that you attract, whether those are your friends, your partner, your clients. Everywhere you turn, it just feels like, yes, this is home. Yes, this is home. You know, that warm, nurturing, loving, supportive place. Kind of like what you said before, if you act differently away from the home, and then at home, you get to you know, whatever, loosen your button, let your belly hang out. Maybe you act silly, right? That feeling of home, that's what I always equate it to. That's how it feels to me.
It's actually a really, really beautiful description. I would 100% agree with that. And just me, like there's just nothing else. It's very calming. It's this interesting contrast of being calming and exciting at the same time.
Yes.
You know, like it is literally both, but I've had people say to me, I want your sense of peace.
Mm.
The only way to do that is to be unapologetically you. That is the only way. The only way.
So how can people find you and reach out to you and book with you?
I would say best place to find me is my website, AndreaHorvath.com. I also have my socials on there. So there's all ways to connect for me from there.
Beautiful. Thank you, my love. As always, it's such a delight sharing space with you. And I'm honored that you came onto the show today and we found some time to create this beautiful episode together.
Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure.
To the audience, I know that there's some of you out there listening to this. And yeah, as we've said, it's transformational. So, you know, you can take it bit by bit. Reach out to Andrea, share this with other people that maybe you realize are going through this process as well. Let's recreate humanity in the essence of authenticity and unapologetically showing up as our truth. Like, ah, that just hit me. It just feels so good. So thank you, thank you, thank you, as always, for being here with us. Until next time, I love you so much.
Thank you for being a part of Wealth Embodied. As you experience each new day, we want you to feel that you are capable of tapping into your innate abundance and living your life wealthy and aligned. If you want to be invited to the next episode, just subscribe to our podcast. And if you need more information in the meantime, go to alarasage.com.